You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to a bonus chapter, bonus episode of Between Pages and Friends, a book club podcast hosted by Con and Lauren, two besties who read a lot of books, and John and Kyle, their gamer husbands who've agreed to read with them. I'm John.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Con. There are three bonus chapters for Fourth Wing, aka Book One in the Empyrean series by Rebecca Yarros. These are existing chapters from Fourth Wing rewritten in Zayden's perspective. If you haven't read them yet, they are available on Rebecca Yarros' website under bonus content. And if you're new here, this is a book club podcast, meaning there will be no spoilers for future books. So if you've only read Book One, Fourth Wing, and these three bonus chapters, this is a safe space to process and chat with us.
Additionally, this is your mild content warning. Fourth Wing is a new adult book, meaning it was written for audiences 18 and up, so our conversations may also be best suited for adults only. We will be discussing themes and quotes from these chapters that include insta-lust, male privilege, and, I don't know, curse words, probably.
If you're a fan of this episode and can't wait for the next, you should join our Patreon. We have two membership tiers available for $5 or $10 a month. You can receive early ad-free access to new episodes, along with a delightful community of other book nerds, live events, a monthly book club, promo codes, merch discounts, bi-weekly D&D nights, and tons more.
Lastly, the best way to support any podcast is by writing a review on Audible or Apple Podcasts. It only takes a moment and it makes a lasting impact, helping our show reach more book besties. Here's a recent 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from our new bestie, Cynical Serbian 123, titled Best Found Family Heart. I randomly came across the BPNF Instagram when Con and John were posting John's Akatar reaction videos, and I binged all the ones posted at the time in one sitting. Good for you. I instantly knew these were my people. When I saw the podcast was going to be starting covering Throne of Glass, I decided to finally jump in and read it too. Being a first-time reader of Throne of Glass, it was so fun to be able to listen to the podcast after each chapter chunk, and I feel like I was part of the book club. I don't have many people in my life that read the Mass verse, so being able to listen to the podcast as I experienced the series for the first time made it such a lovely experience. I'm always cracking up alongside you all and love hearing the things you picked up on that I didn't, and all the thought-provoking discussions you have. I feel like I have my own bookish found fan family, and I will always be so grateful for this podcast. I've suggested it to a few Massverse readers in my life. Hopefully they will join the fam too. Can't wait to start Fourth Wing and continue the book club experience. Love you all and keep up the amazing work. Wow. What a glowing review. That's not cynical at all. Cynical Serbian. Thank you so much.
All right, let's dive into these bonus chapters. All three of these were written by Rebecca Yarros for special editions of Fourth Wing, and they can be found on her website for free on the bonus content page. Each covers a specific chapter of Fourth Wing from Zeta's perspective instead of Violet's.
If you're new to our podcast, we just finished covering Fourth Wing, and we're pausing here to read the three bonus chapters before moving on to Iron Flame, so nothing from Iron Flame or Onyx Storm will be discussed in this episode. You can join us next week on our first episode talking about Iron Flame, chapters 1 to 11.
So here we go. First up, we have chapter 9. This is where Zayden faces off with Violet on the sparring mat.
Yeah, he does.
Oh. So what we've already read?
Yep, that's what this, yep.
It's new information, kind of.
Is it? Kind of. Yeah, kind of. Asterisk.
Okay. Yeah.
Go on.
As a disclaimer, the boys weren't a big fan.
They don't like bonus chapters.
But we do.
I love
them. Take it away, ladies.
All right. So the first one that I have is where it said, I could snap her neck and no one in this room would interfere, but the 107 souls I'm responsible for would pay the price. So I've always thought that he didn't kill her because he just loved her right away and all the things. But I guess I never thought of it from the perspective of if he did something against specifically General Sorengale's daughter, that that would affect their deal that they seem to have made. I also thought that there was 107 marked ones, including him. Is he the 108th? Because it says, but the 107 souls I'm responsible for, is he including himself?
No, I thought he had 107 scars on his back.
So is that 107 others? And he's the 108th?
Unless that does include him. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways.
I don't know.
He's responsible for them.
Yep. My first note here was just a little physical description detail where in his POV, she being Violet, reaches my collarbone. So I dip my head so the others won't hear. And God, she smells really good. I just put heart eyes emoji. I think this is the first time they've given a specific on like their height difference.
Which it's like a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah. Like immediately after this with her smelling good, he whispers in her ear and it says he has to be careful to keep his mouth off her. Since when do I think about putting my mouth on an opponent? It's like, when it's Violet Sorengale. And then we get this like little moment when they're kissing, I think, the first time. And he was like trying to teach her how to ground. And he was talking about like where he sees.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. But this is the first time we kind of see it from his perspective where it says like he plants his feet on his mental hillside in Tirindor. She sees the archives. So it's kind of cool to see like how he sees it. And then it makes me wonder where everyone else imagines their place that they ground. Yeah. And I kind of hope we get that information from other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is cool. There's a line here where he says to Violet, oh, Violence, you're good, but I've known better poison masters. And in his perspective chapter, obviously he goes on to like to talk about Brennan, but this is one of those things in Fourth Wing that was just like so satisfying on a reread because you're like, I know who he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Like,
and then in the last episode, I made a comment about Brennan being a wingman. And everyone was like, why would he do that for his sister or whatever? And then Zayden even thinks Brennan would give one of his frustrated sighs if he knew how obvious his little sister was. Then again, he'd also try to kick my ass for the position I have Violence in because he's on top of her, like teaching her all the things. So it's funny. We just mentioned that. Yep.
Probably not wingmanning.
Yep.
My favorite thing about these chapters, though, is Garrick. I'm like obsessed with Garrick in these chapters. I love getting some more of their interactions. Their dialogue is really funny when at the end of this was not something we got in the original book. I almost said text. Garrick says to Zayden, it's hard to miss the way you look at her. And Zayden says, like, I want to kill her. And Garrick goes, or foot. And Zayden cuts him off. And he says, don't finish that sentence when I'm in the mood to hit people. And Garrick goes, oh, would you please? I need those big, strong hands to show me. He like cuts him off again.
And even says he puts his hand to his heart. Like,
would you please?
Garrick seems to be such an introvert, or at least from the perspective, like Violet doesn't have a lot of interaction with him.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see like his personality because we don't really get that in the actual book.
Yeah. But they've been friends for a long time. So that's like little fun sneak peeks. Yeah.
Well, next up is chapter 16. Just after threshing, as chaos ensues when everyone finds out Violet bonded both dragons.
I'm so glad you got that. Both dragons.
Yes. Squawk. A bit more of what we've already read about, lovely.
It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
Turds.
Yep, for sure. We can just have fun. It's going to be a Connor and Lauren episode.
They're called Athbeans, actually.
Terrible. Okay, my first note was obviously from Zayden's POV. He was looking at Dane, saying that Dane was panicking like the infantry soldier he should have been, which I thought was interesting because we don't really know much about like the infantry. Like that's its own whole quadrant, but we haven't really like heard much about it or interacted with people. So that was just kind of interesting to see from his POV.
I thought that was just like a dig at Dane. Like
he deserved
to be a writer or whatever.
Yeah, it was. I just thought that was like kind of an interesting little thing because there's like no mentions of it, I feel like, in in the first book because the, you know, the first years don't really interact with
anybody else.
Any of the other, yeah.
This line just made me laugh where he's talking to Dane and in his mind says, "Gods, please give me a reason to beat the pompous codex loving shit out of him just once." This makes me laugh. And then through this, and we're going to talk about a little bit about it with like Sigael's conversation with him, but I just thought it was really interesting that she was still talking to Zayden when in this from Violet's POV, Taranen and Darna cut her off because they're at the Empyrean meeting.
Yeah.
And I think Violet's under the impression that all the dragons did that. Maybe because the meeting was about Taranen and Darna, and so that's why they cut her off.
I thought it was because they were deciding who gets to keep her. So they cut her off of the bond in case only one of them could come back.
Into I think the they always knew they would get it because Taren.
I don't know. But
because Taren.
I mean, yeah, he's the second most powerful whatever, yeah. Whatever. No one's going to tell him no. I just thought it was interesting. I guess I was just under the assumption that all the dragons just took a pause and then came back.
Yeah. I do love Sigael, though, and their dialogue as well. I think we get, like, one Sigael line in Fourth Wing, maybe, but she obviously doesn't, like, speak directly to Violet very often. But this, this line where Zayden's like, "What you should be asking is if Sigael saw it, too." And then Sigael's like, "You did not just bring me into this nonsense." I just love that she's sassy, too.
Yeah, I know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I just had to point out here his comment about he's one surly MF-er. And I put, Taren, surly? Nah.
Well, and with that, it made it seem like Zayden has talked to Taren before Violet, I guess even. I guess I just assumed that he didn't have any interaction with Taren until Violet bonded with him or whatever. But it sounds like he'd been talking to Taren beforehand as well, which would make sense, I guess, since it's about the mated pair of Taren and Sigael. Yeah. But I guess in my head, Taren was just like this long mystery dragon that no one had seen in a bajillion years.
I never thought about that.
And Zane's just like, "No, my dragon screws Taren on the regular. I know about
that." Is true. That is a good point. I didn't think about that.
But yeah, I guess if Sigael wasn't bonded to anyone and Violet bonded Taren, she would probably be able to. I don't know that Sigael would speak to her necessarily, but like, yeah they'd still.
Yeah, and I'm sure Taren hadn't done it much either, but it sounds like they've at least had some communication that at least Zayden would know this and that he's surly, you know? Yeah. Know some
the
information
way that Sigael talks about him.
Yeah. Well, and she even says, like, "You want to bring that up to him," or something, like, as if he's had that conversation before, but.
Yeah.
Just from Zayden's POV, it just, like, seeing all of leadership and everything, it's just from a completely different perspective than what we get. Violet gets the ick vibes from General Melgrin, but Zayden's POV says, "General Melgrin takes the front of the dais. My skin crawls just like it always did when he's near. Effing murderer." And I just feel like that's, like, a huge, like, accusation, and you're just straight up calling someone a murderer if he's the one who's just killed all the people. From his perspective, he is, like, everyone else, or at least from Violet's POV, they don't see him as that, you know, like, that's the lie.
That's true.
Is that they see him as this hero, or the same with Lilith, that saved all of Navarre from this rebellion or whatever. Yeah. As where Zayden's seeing it the other way. Well, yes, but
legal,
like,
legal murder, but history made it seem nice, I guess,
right?
just crazy too that all the marked ones do such a good job like hiding that, accepting all the fake truth.
Oh.
You know, and just because they have to, yeah, and they're really good actors.
Wasn't that what Zayden said to one of the kids in that like little meeting with the marked ones toward the beginning of the book? Like, write down what they tell you to, don't
and answer however they would, you know,
whatever
they say. But
oh yeah, I have a little note. We talked about this a little bit in our last episode, but from Zayden's perspective, Sorengil turns in Atos's arms and he lifts his hands to her face. No doubt he's pilfering through her memories to see if I actually interfered, like with threshing. So this was one of those things where I was like, okay, he could have like just mentioned this right? at the time. Like, you know, he's seeing it happen.
And so early too.
Yeah, because later, like at the end of the book, he's like, has Atos touched your face? But then here he's watching her do it and assuming that that's what he's doing. So I'm like, you could have, maybe I get why you didn't tell her all the secrets, but
especially at least here helped her protect herself. But there comes a point when you think he would.
Right.
I don't know. And then from across the whole entire field, he sees Dane and Violet kiss. Which is a wild moment. He's like freaking out, has this whole like jealousy moment. Instead, afterwards, like Dane's like beaming and he says, but no, Sorengil looks like she accidentally kissed her cousin and can't retreat fast enough. Talk about awkward. Kissed her cousin just made me laugh.
That made me laugh too. And then Garrick is like, in 20 years, I don't think I've ever seen you jealous before. This is amazing. And I was like, I agree. It is amazing. I love a jealous Zayden.
For sure. All right, we're already at the last chapter. Finally, at chapter 27. This is my personal favorite, probably from the entire book, from Violet's perspective. Now we're getting it from Zayden's POV, and I got a lot of notes here, so sorry, everyone. Buckle in. But we see the Iron Squad. They are posted at Montserrat for the week, and then Zayden shows up because the dragons can't be too far from each other, and he's with Violet's group while Mira walks them through battle strategy session.
Yes, and
don't ruin it. It's fun. It's exciting.
New dialogue. Nope.
Yes.
Different setting. Nope. New information.
Yes.
Barely.
Huh. Oh my god.
All right then. I'm mostly being facetious, but I was a bit disappointed that all three of these are practically the same thing that we already read. I get it's from Zayden's point of view, but we kind of already got an idea that he'd been feeling this way for a while. It's just maybe wasn't showing it like she was. So it's like, okay, oh yeah, we're getting all of his feelings and stuff, but for the most part, it's like we kind of already knew that he was feeling this way.
I do. I mean, that makes sense from how he feels about Violet, but also the chapter literally starts with the reveal that Imogen was on a secret mission here and using her mind wiping signet to cover her tracks. So we do get like some additional context now that you know that Brennan's alive. And
do we know what the secret mission was? What she was doing?
It said, like, Zayden brought daggers, and that's why, like, from Violet's POV, she was like, his duffel bag is, like, way smaller, you know.
So, like that was, that was one of the shipments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that she had taken it. Which we already learn about a little later, that they've been doing that.
I will say, too, is this still supposed to be transcribed by Jacinia on, like, a real note?
I have no idea. Well,
there aren't any epigraphs at the beginning of these, either.
I assume the last one in the book was, because it said everything in the... whatever was transcribed, but I didn't know if that extended to...
It probably would, because these are printed in special editions of the book, so that would probably encompass...
that would make sense, so...
Everything all the way through, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But even you, Kyle, had said, like, that she was obviously getting this from, and maybe not in Zayden's journals, but, like, it could even be, like, his take on whatever.
Yeah, I didn't take into account that these would be in special editions of the book, so yes, it would be covered by that first thing. So,
does that change things for you? For some reason?
No, I was just wondering. I was wondering if this was like...
Now I love it.
No, I was just saying like if it changed things in the sense of how it should be seen. Because like, is it actually something that she is transcribing versus just a literal bonus look into someone's brain that doesn't count for the world? But it doesn't matter for much. I was just curious.
Yeah. All right. Well, some new information that we get technically is Riddick's last name. So I'm throwing in like a tiny little pronunciation guide here because we don't get Riddick's last name in Fourth Wing, but we do get it in this bonus chapter that his last name is Gamlin.
Yeah, I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah. And then also Emery's last name. I don't think we've ever gotten that before either, but it's Emery Barnes.
I just thought this was funny whenever, for like an inside joke from the podcast, he is sitting next to Violet and he says, "How delectable she smells sitting next to me, like some kind of citrus that makes me want to bury my face in the side of her neck." And I just thought it was funny with the citrus because we made all the jokes about the fruit leather and the dried fruit in his room. And then he says, "Just give Atos the position we all know he craves. His jaw flexes. So drink up."
Cheers.
Even in a bonus chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's also really funny that we just had that whole conversation because my next note says, "The way that Zayden talks to and about Dane is how I imagine Kyle talking to anyone." Which is like in his head, like some of the things that he says to Dane and all of these things, like, "Well, at least he asks good questions, so good for him." You know, like some of those types of things. You know, it's just like, he can understand and appreciate a couple things here or there in some of those moments. And, "Oh, I'll do the one thing that I'm good at, stare back." And they just have like this awkward stare off. And then Dane has to look away and he goes, "I won." I just feel like that's Kyle. I'm not in Kyle's head, but that's how I imagine it works. I think it's funny. And maybe that's why I love Zayden so much.
"You're in my head too often, so distracting."
Oh.
Wow. We went from enemies to lovers in this episode.
So quick. Oh, geez. It's like they weren't enemies at all.
Were you ever really enemies? Oh, okay. I'm just highlighting more of the Zayden-Sigale dynamic here because I love it. But when Dane says to Zayden, "Why are you even here?" And Sigale goes, "Yes, why are you here?" He's making it seem like it's Sigale's fault because she didn't want to be away from Taryn. And she's like,
it's totally his fault, which is also surprising information for me on my first read, that it wasn't actually the dragons. This is another, "Why doesn't he warn Violet?" Whenever Dana's like, "My signet's above your pay grade." And then Zayden thinks, does he actually think that? Or is he so brainwashed by Daddy that he doesn't see they're going to use him as a weapon against other writers? And I was like, bro, you're calling the ending, but you don't tell her anything. Like, just
give a girl a heads up.
Right? And then I just thought this was interesting too, whenever Mira and Dane and Violet and Zayden, they go in like the little stairwell, and he says that she shuts the door behind us, and once we're in the staircase she throws up a blue wave of energy over the doorway. It's an interesting use of power when I'm more than capable of constructing a colorless one for the sake of privacy. And I did not know he could do that. I don't know. Can other writers do that? Or is that just a Zayden thing?
I think he's referring to his shadows.
Yeah, I thought that was a shadow thing, but I wouldn't have called it colorless, I guess. I guess that makes sense. Hmm. I didn't think about Mira's like being a color.
I know. And then I wonder, does he use that like a lot?
Probably.
I would assume. He's always talking
during
in secrets.
Certain activities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Even though there's like lightning crashing outside, everybody
no
knows what's going on.
No one can hear it.
Violet says to Mira, "There's nothing anyone can do about the way I'm made." And then Zayden thinks, "The way she's made, she's fucking perfect. Everything about her is what makes her Violet." I was like, oh, I love Zayden Ryerson.
Me too.
Love like possessive Zayden POV.
Okay, so this is just more random theories that I get from this and I have no answers to. But it says, "An unnatural quiet falls and unease ripples down my spine as the lack of the steady, quiet hum of background noise that always accompanies proximity to stored power. My stomach clenches. The wards are down." So can anyone hear the wards? Or is this like a special Zayden has cool hearing? And maybe he just understands the difference between the wards to not? I don't know. That was very interesting to me. And then he goes back into his room and Liam is there. And Liam says, "Is this us?" From Zayden, he says, "The wards will only fall this quickly if the power supply has been compromised, ... or stolen." He says, "No," which means we already have enemies within the keep. So who is the enemy in the keep? So somebody's betrayed that keep, right? Assumedly with that information.
Yeah.
And then while they're like running up to get away with the dragons and stuff, it says, "Is it me or is he," being Dane, "already out of breath as we climb to the third floor and onto the roof?" So why is Dane out of breath? Is Dane somewhere? Is he the responsible one for the wards coming down? Was he doing something and then had to run real fast and then he's already out of breath while they're making it up the stairs?
I thought this was just a dig on Dane. Like, he's not as in shape as Zayden is.
What an idiot. He's out of breath going up two flights of stairs. It's funny.
Get a load of this guy.
I don't know. I'm thinking way too much into this maybe, but I'm...
The enemy thing is interesting though.
And we end on a high note. Zayden is thinking about Violet, how he's only ever needed her. And he kind of ends that thought with, only Violet. And I just put, my man.
Team Zayden.
Yeah. See, you like this bonus stuff and getting all his love for is a Violet, right? Silence. Dang it, guys.
For myself, I will kind of be a little bit honest. Made me like him less. Seeing his POV, because I feel like...
Was it too much?
I feel like it makes him feel a little more two-dimensional. Him having all of these secrets and thinking of all these things, I was like, oh, there's some interest there. These three chapters, all he does is think about Violet. And I'm like, dude, do you do anything else with your brain? Like,
well, these are three chapters mixed up in the book.
I know. He does other things at other times, but for these three... These three bonus chapters that I've been given to get to know him better, all I know is that he liked her immediately, he likes her a lot, he continues to like her, and that is his whole character now. It's just like, okay, well, I guess he's just 100% thinking about her, which, you know, more power to you, but doesn't seem like he's as deep as he used to be.
Secrets and love.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Mm. Well.
What an episode. My word.
Yeah.
You were warned.
Well, that's it for this bonus episode. If you are new to Between Pages and Friends, all of our full episodes feature a pronunciation guide, a full section recap, chapter by chapter discussions, thoughts and theories from our first time readers, and an official crack counter. We hope you'll join us next week as we start Iron Flame with chapters 1 through 11. So make sure you're following Between Pages and Friends on Instagram for updates, episode schedules, and other bookish shenanigans.
And for even more general bookish shenanigans, this is your reminder to check out our Patreon. Visit our website, betweenpagesandfriends.com, for the Patreon link, merch, our Amazon storefront with all our favorite things, Goodreads and Storygraphs links, and more. Until next time, stay wordy, stay nerdy, don't stress, and stay blessed.
Bye, we'll miss you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bonus,
till next time.
Bonus goodbye. Bonus goodbye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.